So the blockade going back into place and even a 20% fee to cover the cost of protection, the president says, will also be put in place. But this only is applying for Iranian vessels.
Iranian vessels,
he says anybody else that wants to get through that doesn't have ties to Iran can get through. Let's get the latest. Where in the world is Lucas Tomlinson? We ask that every time we talk to him. And turns out he's in Tel Aviv. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me back. Greetings and good morning from Tel Aviv.
So the president says the blockade's going back in place. Sounds like it's going to be later this afternoon. What does that signal towards where we're at in this conflict?
Well, it means the ceasefire and the memorandum of understanding signed with Iran is effectively over. And we're back to where we were about a month ago, in addition to the blockade coming back as ordered from President Trump at 4 p.m. Eastern today. There's been five nights of airstrikes against Iran over the past week, three consecutive. If you remember when President Trump attended the NATO summit in Ankara, Turkey, where yours truly was reporting, it felt like Iran was trying to disrupt that summit by returning to attacking commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. And just yesterday, Iran launched more attacks, this time hitting a pair of Emirati tankers with cruise missiles, killing one sailor and wounding eight. So I just heard the weather report in Detroit. Sounds like it's pretty steamy, over 100. Well, the temperature's turning up here in the Middle East, although I will say here in Israel, it is relatively very quiet. There's not been a rocket incursion until since early this month.
Lucas, the president has formally notified Congress that fighting with Iran has resumed. But, you know, lawmakers, they argue he needs to come to Congress and get that congressional approval to continue these military actions. How serious is that constitutional showdown over war powers going to be?
Well, the White House would say that they are fulfilling their constitutional duties by notifying Congress about this resumption of military strikes. Again, five strikes against Iran over the past week, and those notifications were sent. War powers is a tricky one, though, because we look at it's only been around since 1973. And when you look at the list of presidents and how many did all the notifications and followed the letter of the law, a lot of them have frankly skipped it.
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that this is the president has talked a lot about, you know, going the diplomatic route. Do you get the sense there's frustration that we're back here? I mean, he said he didn't want the United States to go into a depression, and he thought maybe that's where we were headed with the cost of oil being so high right as that initial blockade was being lifted. It doesn't feel like this was the plan to be back here.
No, and it still seems that for both sides, it doesn't appear like both sides want a return to all-out war. That being said, the president, he said he wanted to bring down oil costs. You certainly have the midterm elections coming up. You have to look at this through a political lens, not just a military one. The problem is, after signing the memorandum of understanding with Iran and what many critics said were very generous terms for Iran, remember, they could sell their oil, the sanctions were going to be lifted. In fact, during the 20-odd days that this memorandum was happening, Iran sold over $5 billion worth of goods. You know, that's like the GDP of St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. You know, Iran made some cash, and for people looking at this from a Western lens, they'd say, well, that sounds like a great deal. They're making billions of dollars. Why not keep going? Well, that's just not how Iran works. And frankly, the Trump administration is dealing with not one, not two, but three different governments inside Iran. And negotiations appear very, very difficult, as we've seen, of course, in the past 4 months since this conflict began.
You know, one of the biggest headlines, I think, is the U.S., you know, using these sea drones in combat for the first time. And, you know, we watched Ukraine and, you know, use those naval drones, you know, really effectively against Russia. Are we seeing the U.S. kind of borrow some lessons from that battle?
There's no question. This is something that Admiral Brad Cooper, the CENTCOM commander, pushed when he was in charge of Fifth Fleet All Naval Forces in the Middle East. You're right. We've seen those drones effectively destroy the Russian fleet in the Black Sea. What makes it difficult, not only it's not just that they're remote controlled, but, you know, very small radar signature. You know, these things are skimming the waves. Probably don't even show up on radar. You don't have the big freeboard like you would see from a warship. And very devastating. We saw sea drones being used for the first time from the U.S. military in history. Just yesterday, U.S. Central Command putting out the video. And certainly, there's no question the U.S. military taking a lot of lessons learned from the Ukrainians.
So as the military action kind of ramps up here, what are our allies in the region? What are those communications with the United States like? Are they on board with what's happening here?
Well, certainly with the Gulf states, and unlike the U.S. military, posting videos of F-18s, F-35 from Lincoln, launching off the deck of the aircraft carrier, Emiratis, others, they're a lot quieter when they go about their work. In fact, just as I called into you guys this morning, there were some explosions reported in Bandar Abbas, Iran's largest naval base. And typically, the U.S. military does most of their work at night, as you guys know. And by the way, President Trump in the Oval Office said, in addition to all the strikes I just mentioned, he says more are coming tonight. And we heard his interview with Hugh Hewitt, where he talked about Pickaxe Mountain, which has long been a suspected nuclear site around the Natanz region between Tehran and Isfahan. That is perhaps on the target list. And President Trump, I believe he said something along the lines of he's going to give him a big fat shot.
That could be it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting as always, Lucas Tomlinson. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Stay safe over there, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, fellas. No promise.
All right, Luke.
You got it.
See ya.
Again, we wanted a different outcome, and then things... This is what we'd been talking about for a long time, which was, this is Iran's MO.
Mm-hmm.
Is behind closed doors, they're like, yeah, of course. Let's get to a deal.
Yep.
Nobody wants this, right, guys? We don't want to do this anymore. Let's stop. And then publicly, they sell a different story to their people.
Yes, because everything is shut down. People don't—they can't get information. They only can get what they are told.
I mean, and then of course, the United States is the boogeyman.
Of course,
okay,
yeah.
You're paying us that way. That's fine. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, you're weeks and weeks down the road with no real developments, no real momentum in the right direction. And then next thing you know, we're sending sea drones into ports and we're attacking missile sites and silos and things like that. And now we're back at it.
And does Iran really, who are we talking to? I mean, we're negotiating with one set of people, but we have another set up there who are doing what they want to do, okay. So are we talking to the right people? They're not communicating together.
This is why why people say this is like a regime change proof country because of their structure. Coming up on the other side, Lindsey Graham died from a tear in his aorta. What is an aortic dissection? We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Jared Morning.